Can you cut it? All right? That's a logical question for those that wonder, well, am I good enough? Why, there was those great men of the Bible. Whoa, they were something else. They could do it. They had what it took just to be like one of those men of the Bible. Well, how well do you know them? Let's take old Adam as an example, the first Adam. He was told in the garden what to do and what not to do and so forth, and God came back to the garden and Adam hid. That's a good sort to start with. What? He hid. And God said, what are you doing? He said, I heard your voice and I was frightened and I hid. Have you partaken of that tree? Oh, the woman did it. She gave it to me. She caused it. Well, now, what is that, a can-do type person? You know, well, makes you wonder, doesn't it? You think Adam didn't have doubts? And the point today is I want to tell you, now, coming out the gate, can you cut it? Ain't no way that you can cut it without God's help. I mean, He's it. If He tells you to do something, then you're going to be a can-do type person. But without Him, if I were you, I'd be very careful. Because you'd be just like Adam, you'd be hunting a place to hide, and it probably wouldn't be a fig leaf either. Okay? So, no, Adam didn't really cut any big standard for us that's out of the ordinary. And the main thing I want you to know, you're not out of the ordinary. I hear, well, you don't understand, I'm just a country person. I'm just a poor country girl, or I'm just a poor country boy, I don't know much. Well, you do, and you can. But you've got to have God's help, God's Word, His truth, and His plan. Before you can do something, before you can cut it, you first got to know what it's all about. What are you going to cut? Okay. Let's look at some more of the great men of the Bible. Open your Bibles to the 4th chapter of Exodus. And let's take another great person of the Bible. And let's start with one of the greatest. Let's take Moses. You know he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. I mean, he really was somebody in a way. And then he killed an Egyptian and they crossed the desert and so forth. And he went up on that mountain and he had seen the fire in the bush and God spoke to him. Whoa, told him his name, I am that I am. And in this 4th chapter, he's ready to tell Moses, would that strengthen you? Would you think that would take a man like Moses and really put the fire of God in him? Hey, now, if I could only be like Moses. Well, let's take a closer look at Moses. And please understand, I'm not taking away from any of these souls. They're A-OK. They're normal. All right? Very normal. But you and God make a majority when you're in God's will and you're doing God's purpose. You make a majority. And you'll always get it done. By yourself, it's never apologize for feeling incapable. But with God, you are capable. Let's look at Moses real closely. Chapter 4, verse 1, great book of Exodus, the coming out. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. God's already told them, you go on down there and talk to them. They won't believe me. Nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think I'm crazy. And who am I to go down there and talk to them anyway? Well, do you know who he was to go down there and talk to them anyway? Because God told him to. That makes the difference. That makes the whole ball of wax. If he says it, it's so, it's going to happen exactly that way. So, Let's see how Moses deals with it then. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, Yeah, it's a rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. What did Moses do? And Moses fled from before it. He ran. He's a great man, you know. I mean, that's the kind of man that you're just right after your heart, you know. I'd like to be like Moses. He ran, okay? Scared him to death, that thing. He just steadied him, whoosh, blew it. He's gone, okay? Man of God. And again, I'm not doing this to tear down Moses. Hey, he had it made. He was all right. But he was normal, and so are you. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. I mean, he's a little lesson here in discipline. Obey God, all right? You can do the same thing to Satan. Now, if you want to put this in the future sense, and this will be a short digression, but be that as it may, to the old idiom that you can pick up snakes is an idiom that means you have power over Satan. Meaning, Christ gave you that power. You can tell him in the name of Yeshua where to go, and he's got to do it. You don't have to mess with him. So you can handle the snake, the serpent, which is to say, Satan in your life. Do it, all right? That's what makes you a can-do type person. Don't be one of these people that just lay around and let him chew on you. Well, I wish it wasn't so bad. Well, do something about it. Verse 5. And they may believe that the Lord of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Showed him a few miracles. You know, man can't do that. God can. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, he knew he was going to weaken on him, so he said, Furthermore, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. It was white. I mean, instant leprosy. Verse 7. And he said, Now, just so you keep up with the show, is that normal? Uh-uh. That's not normal. That's out of the ordinary. And when something is totally out of the ordinary, that means you've got a divine input from somewhere. Just make sure where it's from. And if it's from your father, even if it was leprosy, it's not going to hurt you. It's a sign he's showing you. Verse 7, And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. That old complexion came back in there, and the blood was showing, and looked healthy, looked all right. A miracle had happened. Why? God was present. Verse 8, And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. We're going to keep hitting them. God has a way of being patient with the people he's trying to lead. He's long-suffering. Thank heavens for that. Look what he's done to you in your life trying to get your attention. And he's still patient. He still waits. And he still leads. 9. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, how would that hit you? I mean, here God has spoken to you, you've heard his voice. And I mean, he's performed miracles. You picked up the serpent and went back to the staff. Do you think that's going to make a candid type person out of Moses? Do you think that's going to give him the courage to say, Lord, just point me at him. Just turn me loose, God. I'm ready. Okay. You think that'll happen? Yeah, I mean, after all, what would that do to you if you'd seen all those miracles? Woo! Would that not pump you up? Well, let's see what he did to Moses. You won't be like him? 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I'm just a country person. Not eloquent, can't speak too good. Don't look too good, maybe. I'm not a dresser. Neither hitherto, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I don't talk real good. I'm not just a fast talker. It just takes me a little bit. Now, I want you to take a good look. Here's Moses. This is your great leader. He's seen miracles. And he's still feeling, my heart's willing, but I'm just not that good. You can surely find somebody better. How many times have you said that? How many times have I said it? Lord. You know, he surely could have found somebody better to. But anyway, whom he chooses, I'm sorry, you're saddled and ready to ride. That's it. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes we don't. So I don't care if you are just a common little old person. So was Moses. He had feelings just like you do. There's nothing that has happened to you that didn't happen to him. All right? He's just very common. Verse 11, And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? It's kind of, you know, I would say the Father's just getting a little bit. Who do you think made that mouth on you in the first place, Moses? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And that's your key. With the Lord you can do anything. I mean, but the clay has got to be a little bit moist before it's pliable. You've got to be willing to let God work with you. You can't just, well, I have made up my mind. I'm going to do this for God and that for God, and that's exactly the way I'm going to do it. Oh, did you decide that or did God? Okay? You got the point? I mean, hey, there's only one way. I'm sorry. Your way may be a pretty good way, but God's way is always the way. Right? So you've got to be a little pliable and let Him work with you in your life. And you alone, hey, I'm sorry, you can't cut it. But with God, it's not even up for grabs. There's not even any need to question it. Yes, you can. You, with God, you are a can-do type person. He will be with you, you will be with Him, and I guarantee you success in that you do in following, I said following, not leading Him. You take a look at Moses. Moses was just pretty ordinary. He couldn't, you know, he'd been raised in Egypt, and he spoke that Egyptian tongue real good, other tongue, probably he'd had a little trouble with it, and he just really didn't have a good way of expressing himself, and he thought, you know, I'm just not good enough. But let me tell you something, if you're good enough for God to have chosen you as one of His elect, then you're good enough. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how little or how unsure of yourself you might be. He chose you. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for your friends. Now, when I look around, every once in a while I'll see something, I'll say, Lord, if it had been left up to me, I'd have passed that one over. But that's not our right. Okay? God, again, God's in control. And we just let Him do all that. So, when we look at Moses here, we see that God had to work with him quite a bit. He really did. Verse 12 of that same chapter reads, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And that's important. He's not going to give you necessarily everything when you first come out the gate to work for him. You've got to keep researching. You must keep studying. You must keep praying that the Spirit will touch you, give you the anointing and the unction to absorb what it is that He has for you to do. whereby you are a very useful tool in His armory, in His way of conquering Satan. 13 then would read. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Just, he's still backing up. Is there somebody else? 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And it's true. I mean, Aaron, he could just really roll it out. He had taught the Bible, you know, the way of the Lord, what the Lord had taught. He would be the chief priest, and words just came easy for him. Good preacher, you know. Just poured forth like nothing to it. But who did God choose? That's what's important. He chose Moses. Who did he send up the mountain again? And let me ask you a question. What did this slick-lipped, I want to be careful here, Aaron do while Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments? Okay, he could talk. I think he engineered the golden calf, you know. Think he did. So, if God loads your donkey with the responsibility, you go with it. You can do it with His help. I don't care what it is. You can do it with His help. Why? It's all the power in the world. Just remember, you've got to be pliable. And in good conscience and in good common sense, aligning it with God's Word, get it done. It's that simple. So, want to be a Moses? Well, be ready then, because Moses was afraid. Moses had doubts. God even showed him miracles, and he still said, you don't understand, Father, I can't hardly talk. And then God, I think, was about ready to say, what in the world do you think I've been doing with you, showing you these miracles, that all you have to do is ask, regardless of how dumb you talk, and I'll do it. Just lead. Get out there. And Moses finally got the message, you know. So it's real normal for someone to say, you don't understand, I'm just a poor little country girl. Yeah, that's all. Well, be that as it may, God loves country folks and city folks, and He will do with whomever He chooses. Well, let's go to a prophet. That was Moses brought the law. Turn with me over to Judges here. Let's before we get to the prophet, let's stop off at Judges here, right after Joshua. And we have an old boy here named Gideon that we're going to work with. He was a brave soul. Sixth chapter of Judges, verse 11. Man's name being Gideon, the cutter down. You've heard the name Gideon. That's look what Gideon has done. You go on a documentary or somewhere, and right there in the hotel room, you open a drawer, and many more that are laying right out on the coffee table is a Holy Bible placed there by the Gideons. Gideon was a great man. He was a great servant of God, was he? Well, I don't know. Let's take a look. Verse 11, Judges 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto... Now, bear in mind what's happened. Let me bring you up to speed. The Baal worshipers have taken over. Our own people were even worshiping Baal. It's terrible. Finally, an angel of the Lord comes and said under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon. Here's our boy. threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, let me ask you something. Do you thresh wheat in a winepress? You know what a winepress is? It's a low place in the ground with a trough, you know, where you get in there and press the grapes and the juice runs out and you make the good stuff, okay? Well, but he's not in there pressing grapes. He gathered some wheat and he's hiding because that's a low place. He can get in there and beat that wheat, the grain out of that wheat, in secret. They can't see him. Why? He's afraid. That's why you hide from the enemy. Well, it may not be only fear, but it's being real careful. All right? Gideon is a real careful person. All right? 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And I'm sure many times this is from the manuscripts. I will admit, between scholars, sometimes we think this probably says, "The Lord, a mighty man of valor, is with thee, Gideon." All right? Rather than, "Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor," because maybe someday he would be. All right? Be that as it may. 13. And Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of these Midianites." Here we are, captivity. They're all around us. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt have save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Now that's a good question. It's important. Have not I sent thee? If you're a sent one of God, you're going to get it done. That's the problem. It doesn't matter who Gideon was. If God sends him, and that's what God is saying to him, he's hinting at, "Don't you think I'm the one telling you it's going to be all right? You're going to save Israel. You are the one that are going to lead, and we're going to get this monkey off our backs." I guess he said it kind of quietly because it probably scared old Gideon to death if he had just laid it on him. Verse 15. And he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. I'm the least thought of, the littlest, less powerful, lowest man, a black sheep of the family. I'm just a plain old country boy out here. Why in the world would you say I'm going to save Israel?" He's already forgot. God saying, "I will send thee." Okay? You want to be a Gideon? You're different. You don't think you're qualifying? You don't think you can cut it? Well, Gideon didn't either. But God changed his mind. Okay? I hope you understand why I'm doing this. It's because you can get it done. In God's light, in God's help, don't you ever doubt yourself. It's almost an insult to God for you to doubt yourself. That's not to boast about yourself. Knowing a self alone, you can't do anything. You are exactly what you think you are when you are by yourself. But with God's help, you can move mountains. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Hey, you're going to take, it's going to be that easy for you. Just like whipping one man. Not a dozen. Not a thousand. Not 10,000. Just like taking one man. 17. And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." Now think about that. Don't read over it. See, a picture of old Gideon. He said, good Lord, am I dreaming out here? Is God really talking? Can I be sure of this? Am I just imagining this? He said, if you're really talking to me, God, could you just give me a sign? And none of you have ever had anything like that happen to you, have you? Well, I know. But understand, it could happen. 18. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. I mean, he's going to get religious on him here. You know, real religious, going to do what he thinks God is would please God. He's dealing, bargaining with God, okay? And he said, and respecting him too, let's give him credit. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. But, now that's patience. So I'll wait for you. God does. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. Present. All I want is a sign, and this is for you. 20. People like to bargain with God, especially when they're in trouble. Oh, God, if you'll only. Okay. 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. He did obey God. That's important. Remember that. Always you follow suit. Obey God. 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Man. You know, I mean, right out of the middle of that rock, boom, I mean, it was gone. Never saw anything like, I've never seen anything like that. Had to be God. Now, I'm helping you think through Gideon's thoughts, you know, because he's already proved to you and to me that he was just normal. Okay? That's what he's going to be thinking. Verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, it wouldn't take long, you know, there with that. Yep, that he was real. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, you know, they thought they would die. You know why? You know from Passover, it's a different dimension, and only the dead can see him in that dimension. So he could still see the presence of the angel of the Lord, which was a dimension he sent to him. 23, the Lord assures him of that in this verse. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. God loves us. He doesn't want to hurt us. All right, I want you to know that. Unless we got it coming. 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. The proper Hebrew as it's written in the manuscripts, which unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites, which is to say the Lord send peace, or the Lord of peace. 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, numerology all over this, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. Who hath that thy father, his earthly father, hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. You know what happened in grove worship. That's where the Easter egg started rolling, all right? The orgies took place. But cut it down. 26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. That same rock. That rock that the fire came out of. In the ordered place. That means in an orderly manner. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. In other words, the trees weren't bad. It was the things people did in the trees that were bad. Okay? 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants. Now look at old Braveheart here. Okay? Watch this closely and think about it. He took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, and he did it by night. Well, he at least did it, all right? At least got it done without a whole lot of interference. So sometimes, you know, a stitch in time saves nine, okay? 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, they're going to go down and say, Babble Bibble, Babble Baal. All right? Well, that's a little... In the morning before the altar of Baal it was cast, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. I'm telling you, the deacons went nuts. Here, their church is tore down, and they don't know which way to go, and what's going to, it's all in disarray. They can't babble any, and here we go. 29. You all know that's what Baal is, Babel, so I'm not adding to the scripture. 29. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? Understand, these are our people here, okay? I mean, these were our people. Angry because Baal is destroyed. And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Now, let me ask you a question. They did it in night, and it was secret. How did they know Gideon did it? And I don't want you to ever forget this. Well, let me see. There's 10 of his own servants. 1 out of 10 is all it takes to spill the beans. Okay? Word to the wise is sufficient. 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and also he hath cut down the grove that was by it. He's messed up our religion, our church. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead with Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, if Baal is a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. In other words, if Baal is really a god, let him kill my son, Gideon. Hey, Gideon's got it made. There ain't no Baal. Okay, that's a bunch of nonsense. It's false religion, all wrapped up in a pretty bow. So Gideon hadn't got a thing to worry about. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbabel, which is Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. In other words, let Baal be the one that takes revenge upon my son. So, quite frankly, what this is going to amount to, it ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. Because one man stood up. Though he was a little nervous, one man stood up. One man made a difference. One man stood the ground. One man spoke out against that with evil. One man saved the day. Don't you agree with me on that? One man did not save the day. One man and who saved the day? One man and God saved the day. You want to be careful about getting too far out on point all by yourself, okay? Take it from an old Marine, an old combat Marine. Don't get too far ahead of the group on point unless you happen to be... never mind. We won't go into forward observers and that sort of thing. God sometimes even has forward observers, come to think about it. But be careful. Work as one body, one unit. But always make sure, rather than working necessarily with the body, that you're with God. For if you're with God, you're with the body that counts. You know, I suppose what is politically and religiously correct in this generation and seeing that we offend no one. And inasmuch as we're here in the book of Judges, you know, there were other leaders. I wasn't going to talk about them, but I think I will. It just struck me that I think I will, if I can get my mind to call there. There were other judges during this time. Back up to chapter 4, and let's read verse 4. That's Fofo. And it says there, "And Deborah, a prophetess." Good Lord, there's a woman that's a prophet. Oh, the wife. So if you can't read the Hebrew and know this is feminine, she was a wife. Though I guess in this generation, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to tell, but anyway, it was. And Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She was a judge. Okay? She was it. And there was a war came along. Was she afraid? And Barak, verse 8. I'm not going to teach this whole thing. I don't have time. I'm just working this in to be politically and religiously correct. That's all. I joke. Okay. Verse 8. And Barak, this is the big cheese general. Mucho macho. I mean, he's got it. He wears a sword so long it drags. Okay. I mean, he's the head man. And Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me," and he's talking to this woman, "then I will not go." I mean, you know, now, this is pretty sad, isn't it? I do say this speaks good for motherhood, though, you know. 9. And she said, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. You know what happened from there? I can't hardly stand it, though. You know, because prophecy comes to pass. Whether this is a woman giving prophecy. Now, some people say women can't be prophets. Did it come to pass? I mean, we got a whole army out here, friends. The men are too afraid to lead out. They ain't going unless she leads the army. I guarantee you, she's going to have a sword not quite as big as the general, because her sword is the sword of the Lord. And she's going to lead the troops, and they're going to get the victory. But Sisera's going to escape. And he is going to pass by a woman's tent. Okay? Just to show you, the only reason I'm doing this is to show you that a woman prophet, if she's speaking for the father, it comes to pass. 18, and Jael went out to meet Sisera. This is a woman. Jael is a woman. And she went out. I mean, Sisera is running like a dog. I mean, he's been whipped, beat, and he's running for his life. And this woman goes out and meets him. Remember the prophet. You're not going to get the honor of taking him. A woman is. Well, Jael happens to be the woman. And said unto him, "Turn in, my lord. Turn in to me." You know, a woman has an advantage. She really does. "Fear not. Don't be afraid, big boy." And when he had turned him into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. Here, you're tired and you're chilled from fighting so much. Let me make you comfortable, big boy. Okay. 19. And he said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. She gave him some sweet buttermilk. That's what she gave. Beware women passing out buttermilk. All right? I shouldn't say that. She was a brave woman indeed, and there's nothing wrong with buttermilk. I have it every evening with my sup. It's a good way to get acidophilus without having to take a pill. All right? And it works so good on the tummy. All right? 20. Again, he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent And it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here that thou shalt say no? Old Sisera is saying, you lie for me, sugar. Right? Then Jael, Eba's wife, took a nail of the tent. This is a spike. And took a hammer in her hand and went softly up unto him and smote the nail into his temple. She practiced brain surgery, and she had never had a case before. Okay? And fastened it into the ground. She nailed him to the ground. Okay, got it? And for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Was she afraid? I don't think so. Now, if you want to be a Bible character, I tell you what, I would kind of like to be like Rebecca. Deborah means Queen Bee. Well, it doesn't mean Queen Bee, but anyone that knows Deborah knows she was the Queen Bee. All right. Or J.L., because they weren't like these men. Oh, Lord, show me again. They did it. Yeah, I don't know why I throw that in. I guess just to be religiously correct. All right. But be that as it may, we'll push on here now. Now let's go to the prophet. Let's go to the book of Kings. 1 Kings. You all know Elijah. Hey, there was one that could get it done. I mean, he had prophesied, went out, here's all these Baal priests, told them, you take all the time you want and have Baal burn the sacrifice on this altar, and then give me my time. And he sat over and chided them, said, and honest to Father, this is the Hebrew, he would say to them after about 2 hours of their beating and cutting themselves and calling to Baal, maybe he's taking a potty break. You know, maybe, you know, wonder, maybe it's his day off. You know, and then finally, he called the fire down and then had him kill all the Baal priests. Jezebel did not like that. So we pick up this great hero. And I'm not knocking, I'm certainly not knocking Elijah of all people. But Elijah was an ordinary man. He just had studied prophecy and knew when it was time for prophecy to come to pass. God hadn't necessarily just elected him. He knew on his own when that prophecy of rain should come. And that's the way he did. And then God picked him up and went with it. But at first, he's just ordinary. Okay? So, chapter 19, first book of Kings, Elijah's in trouble. He killed all of Jezebel's prophets. Let's pick it up with verse 2 of 19, 1 Kings. Then Jezebel sent messengers unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I'm going to make your life, sonny boy, just like those Baal priests are. I'm going to kill you. What did our brave man do? Elijah. Verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. That means he took off. Okay? And came to Beersheba, the well of seven, or the oath of seven, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. This is Elijah. He might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. I don't believe I'd want to be like him in that mood. You know, I call that depression. And people that really follow God don't have depression. You know, you know how to shake it if it should ever come knocking on your door. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. God took care of him. You've got to keep that in sight. We are pretty common. We are like everyone else. Don't ever get it in your head that you're different. It's God's help that makes us different. And without His help, sorry, it's not there. You're not going to find it in yourself. You find it in Him. Elijah needs help bad. I mean, you know, think of all the things that he accomplished. Just the day or two before this, he put 400, or was it two? I'm going to stick with four. 400 Baal priests to shame with God's help. And here he is, depressed in one day. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake. And naturally, you know, God took care of him. And he fed him. But there he was. I want you to know that if you let flesh, and that's what was wrong with Elijah, his old flesh, you know, Jezebel says, boo! And he ran. He was afraid of her. But always know that God gives you power over all of your enemies as long as you use common sense. Never let Satan mess with your family. Alright? You don't have to put up with it. Don't waste your time with it. You are a can-do type person with God's help. One more. Let's go with Jeremiah. Well, he was a good prophet. You know, if God ever really used a man. The reason I think of Jeremiah is Jeremiah chapter 1 is where we're going to go to here. Do you know that God chose him before he ever entered his mother's womb? Yeah. God chose him and anointed him when his soul was still with the Father. Do you know why? The Father knew what his soul or self was capable of. And what difference does it make how capable you are if God chooses you? God's not ignorant. He's going to choose those that He knows can cut it. Okay? That He can trust, that He can depend on, that have got it finally settled into their little brain that with God's help, I can do it. I am a can-do type person. I can do it. I don't have to get depressed. That's for other people. God takes care of me. So in Jeremiah, verse 4, and it reads, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is God speaking, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. I marked you as a prophet. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Not just, you know, a prophet to one nation. Nations, plural. I mean, Jeremiah, you're it. You're my man. Chose you. Sanctified you. What did Jeremiah say? Verse 6. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." The word in the Hebrew means, I'm just a young person. You know, I mean, he was used to the senior citizens that had studied the word and seemed to be a lot more fluent than he was, and so forth. "Why are you doing this to me?" Well, you got to remember, number one, we're all the same age in God's eye. Okay? Because He created the souls about along the same time. He just chooses different times for us to come through here. Okay? So He chose him before because He knew He could do it. And here poor old Jeremiah is saying, I don't think I'm good enough. Be very careful if you ever say that to yourself. I'm not talking about somebody else. To yourself. I don't think you're going to say it to somebody else. That would show weakness. But I think you're going to say it to yourself. I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, probably you're not. But if God chooses you, He's going to get along with you anyway. You're what He's got for that project. And He's going to use you. So that's what He did with Jeremiah. And poor old Jeremiah, you know. Let's don't take a thing away from him. He stood in mud clear up to here with nothing but a bunch of rags in a well just sinking down. You know, can you imagine being in solitary confinement in a mud hole? For as long as he was, did not falter. But coming out the gate here, you surely can find somebody else. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And God always comes through. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Clay must be pliable. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to do what? To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant, to bring about the restoration of our people. But there would be some tearing down of the enemy before that would transpire, before that would take place. In conclusion, as I close this out, Hebrews chapter 13, go to the New Testament. So you want to be like one of the great men of the Bible. I hate to say this, you might choose a better standard in Deborah, all right, if you really want a hero. And I'm partial to the ladies anyway, so be that as it may, all right? But there were good men. It seemed like they just took a little more prodding sometimes. But the important thing is not to forget the message. Can you cut it? The first thing that's going to pop into your mind, I don't know. I wouldn't mind trying. But I don't know if I can or not. I mean, and what goes through your mind is all the times you've messed up. All the times you've tried to do something right and wham, it happens to you again, doesn't it? Just it goes like that. So that makes you a little curious. I don't know. I don't know if I can or not. I'll try. But with God's help, it's a different light, a different ball game, and different players. It's God that actually plays, not you. So, of course, you can cut it. You can do it, as long as it is God that leads you. He has taught you in His Word how to be successful, to be prosperous, to stay out of usury, and the foods even to eat on your table, to be healthy and wise and good. Just let Him come into your family and kind of, you know, operate, and you'll be a lot better off. You know why? I don't care what happens. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Always work yourself up to what you consider to be up, if you feel you need to, or if you're comfortable where you are, fine. Quite frankly, I'll tell you something. Wealth many times can be nothing but something to worry about if you've got all you need. You want me to say that again? If you've got all you need, wealth can be nothing but trouble. Okay? Digression, excuse me, verse 6. Somebody must have needed that. I don't know. If it was, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Beloved, that's my message. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's your message. You alone, I'm sorry, you've got a right probably to be concerned. But when God is your helper, when you move back and let Him, after you've done all you can do, take the reins, you're going to plow, friend. You're going to get it done. Because God, our Father, is can do, both spiritually, especially. All He has to do is speak, and it is done. All right? Remember them which have the rule over thee, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, who, if they're really a person of God, male or female, they're teaching God's Word, so if you follow them, you're following God. Never follow a human being, though. A human being, the Word they teach, follow, but a human being falls short occasionally. They're going to disappoint you. Always keep your faith in God. He will never let you down. He will never leave thee. He will never forsake thee. Now that has nothing to do with fellowship or anything else. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when a brother lets you down, that's when he needs you the most. And that's what Christianity is all about. Don't ever forget that. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's why you can compare to Adam. That's why you can compare to Gideon. That's why you can compare to Moses. That's why you can compare to Elijah and Jeremiah. God, through the Son, is the same always. People are the same. Birth is still the same. You get a newborn baby and build a tent like they had in Jeremiah's day or Elijah's day, and the baby would never know the difference until you showed him different. There's nothing new under the sun. Please understand what I mean by that. Be not, and the thing is, God's rules still hold the same. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace. That's to say, your mind is established with the love of Jesus Christ. And not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And naturally, our altar is the cross. That's all we need. It was paid for there for us. Nothing else need be offered on it except the only begotten Son. And He's with you night and day. God is your help. With Him, you can do it. I don't want you to worry about yourself or feel inadequate. I could have titled this, Are You Adequate? But I like, Can You Cut It Better? Okay? Kind of gets it said, doesn't it? Well, you can, as long as He's with you. And don't ever underrate yourself. You are somebody. You are a child of God. Act like it. And let your Father use you. Always be pliable clay. Father, we thank You for the Word, the written Word, Father. Thank You for the examples and types You have set in the great men and women of the Bible that gives us an example that we can compare and follow, Father, through Thy Word to strengthen ourselves and give ourselves that strength and love we need for You, for You have done these things for all Your children. The many-membered body, bless it, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false